Session 8, A Healthy Break with Mom. But before we get into that, remember we were talking about how the legs of manhood are built, the foundation of our manhood is on two legs, and it's a healthy connection with Dad and a healthy release from Mom. But the two legs of manhood, depending how your leg is, it affects our manhood, everything about it. Depending how healthy your legs are, some of us guys have kind of weak, maybe a little unsteady legs. Some of us guys have, some of our legs might need some braces. Maybe you even need a prosthesis. And we talked about dealing with the dad of your past. And I don't know if there's anyone here that has, their parents or their dad or mom has died. Some of you might be wondering, well, what do I do with my stuff? And one suggestion would be to write your parent a letter. And going to the grave and processing it with a group of guys, gather a few men to maybe even in your group, if you're a man in that situation. Every man needs to have a moment where he knows he became a man. And some of that, some of us as men have had moments where we've kind of realized we're a man. For me, one of those moments, I think there's probably a few, but one of the moments was for me when after I got married and on the honeymoon out in the West in Alberta, waking up one morning and realizing, you know, I got to grow up. And if I'm going to survive, I got to take a hold of some things as a man. But all of us guys need to have moments. Every man needs that. And the other thing about, as we talked about the manhood journey, it's a process. And it's not going to be done today. It's not going to be done tomorrow. But we're on a process that takes time. And as we've gone through this, I hope you guys get that picture. What do you do as a man if your legs aren't that sturdy? They're a little shaky. A couple things. You don't quit. You keep on the journey, moving towards manhood. You don't blame. You don't play the victim. There's some of us guys like to play the victim when we have shaky legs. You don't play the victim. You don't blame. You stand on those legs, shaky as they are, and move forward. You look ahead, and you get the help that you need. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Today we're talking about what it looks like to make a healthy break with Mom. And I think actually there's different levels of woundedness with the father wound and with the mother wound. Not all of us are at the same level. Like, I think there's some of us might have this overly bonded with mother wound, maybe just a little bit. And there's others that maybe have a bigger chunk that they can connect with as we're talking. And for you, as I don't know what your story is, but wherever you are on the scale, if there's things that grab a hold of you as we talk, it indicates that you may have a piece of the wound. If there's things that make sense as we go through this morning, and what I hope that you guys will be left with is, how do we act responsibly with what we've been given by our mom? How do we live with what we've been given? The over-bonded with mother wound. What is it? Unhealthy emotional relationship with the mother that causes a son to either be threatened by the influence of women later on in life or to over-identify and become submissive to that influence. Makes a big impact. And there was a picture of a few guys who had it pretty bad from mom. So we're looking at two responses, and we kind of ran through this 2 weeks ago, but we're going to run through it again. Sons can be overly passive in regard to women. And we're going to, as we look at the passive thing, we're going to look at three areas that it shows up. A guy can become soft in his maleness. And one of the ways that that can come out sometimes, it's not always a factor, but it can be a real factor in men who struggle in dealing with porn, where in their fantasy they become strong, they become powerful, but in normal life they feel pretty soft. Where a man can kind of create his own world and make something different of himself. It's a feminized man. Remember we said the feminized man is not effeminate, meaning acting with feminine actions, but more of the kind of man who defers to women to decide for him how he should live, what he should do, when he should do it. And it also impacts husbands, the passive husband, the man that waits to initiate, a man that connects to or picks a mother wife rather than a woman, someone that can take care of him. That's the passive husband. He gets married expecting to be taken care of, just like his mom took care of him. That's the first response, where a man with the overly bonded with mother wound will end up over-identifying with the mom. And then there's the other extreme. And again, I think there's categories or scales of we're looking at two of the extremes, but I think there's many of us guys fit in between somewhere. So we're looking at the sons can be overly dominant in regard to women. They've had a mom who's been over-involved in his life. A son can react and become overly dominant. And he lives out of a conquering masculinity, kind of a powerful, no one's going to tell me what to do. It's my way or the highway. And if he has a wife who expresses herself, he gets threatened by what she says. He gets threatened about who he is as a man. This is the kind of man who loves the word submit when it talks about wives submitting to their husbands. These kind of men. And in extreme cases, it turns into violence and abuse, affairs, and rape, where a man sets out to dominate. Remember we talked about the mother wound being not one of like the father wound tends, in my mind, to be more raw. The mother wound tends to be one of overcare rather than not enough care. And it makes it difficult to think through because it's often not out of intent to harm from the mother. And it's over love rather than neglect. And every man needs to make a break, a healthy break with mom if he intends to make or become an authentic man. Another aspect of the dominant response is fierce independence, where a man is driven to prove something about himself, and he's reacting to internally to his mom. Fear of being vulnerable. That's huge to these kind of guys. And it also turns a husband into demanding. Are you guys caught up there? Into a demanding man, where he expects things to be handed to him, expects things to be done his way. And every guy, every man needs to make a healthy break with mom that takes him out of her orbit. And for a man to, or for a young man to identify with healthy manhood. Where there's a healthy give and take, and where there's a difference, there's a separation between boyhood and manhood, between him and his mom. So the next little section here, we're going to look, and I don't know if you've thought about it much before, but we're going to look at how Jesus dealt with his mom. And I think there's some principles that we can take of how Jesus responded to his mom. And there's a number of passages throughout Scripture. We don't hear much of what Jesus' father said to him, but we hear some things about what his mom said to him. And we're going to look at that right now. And I'm on page 28. There's a couple things that Jesus clarified in his relationship with his mom. And we're going to look at four. In Luke 2, there was relational clarity. And you guys remember that story when Jesus was about 12 years old. And the family and community, relatives, friends had went to Jerusalem. And then as they were there for a while, and then they were headed home and traveled a day. And all of a sudden, Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus wasn't in the group. And they figured he was with friends, relatives, traveling. And all of a sudden, they realize that he's not there. I'm just going to run through this passage from Luke 2. As they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. So you get this picture. Here's, it's probably a great time for the family, extended family. And now they're traveling back in this big caravan, a group of people, and they're thinking that Jesus is in the crowd. And realized after a day that he's not there. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And you can get this desperation if you're a parent and you've ever lost one of your children for an hour or more. I remember Jeremy was about 3 years old, and we lived in Manitoba, and it was in the spring. And I was gone. Darlene was home, and we had some other friends around, had kind of lost track of where he was, and he was outside riding his little three-wheeler or something, and all of a sudden Jeremy was gone. And there's a river behind our place. And people started looking. We lived right on the college campus. We started telling some of the students, and we had people walking the river and walking the fields. No Jeremy. And eventually we found him about an hour later, but he had went over to a parking lot and tripped and got kind of tangled up in his three-wheeler and couldn't get up. So he was stuck there until someone heard him crying. But there was a desperation there. And that was an hour, and this is 3 days. You can imagine Joseph and Mary after 3 days, they're about beside themselves. So they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him, talking about Jesus, were amazed at his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, what do you think his father would have said? We don't, it's not, Joseph doesn't speak or isn't quoted in the scripture speaking. But this is what his mother said. If you were the dad, would you be ready to grab this guy and scruff of his neck and tell him a few things? But this is what Jesus' mother said to him. Son, why have you treated us this way? Or what did that have to do with anything? I mean, just think about Mary coming there. You know, Jesus, what are you treating us this way for? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. So right off the bat, Jesus is saying, Mary is saying to Jesus, kind of trying to get him to feel a little guilty for what he's doing. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? And then this is what he said. Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And I think we can take from this passage, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this umbilical cord that needs to be cut physically and emotionally from mom. And Jesus was helping that happen. You can just hear the scissors cut, cut, cut. Mom, I'm taking my cues from a different source. Just remember that. Just remember that, Mom. Did you not know I had to be in my father's house? Jesus was sending a message to his mom. And, I mean, here's Mary, who was, came to, like, if anyone who should have had a sense about this, Mary should have. Gabriel came and talked to her about Jesus being born. And yet Jesus, at 12 years old, was starting to make an emotional disconnection from his mom. Let's look at another passage here. That was relational clarity. Now it's social clarity. And in this scene, this is the first scene was 12 years old. This scene is 30 years old, 18 years later. And Jesus and his disciples were at a wedding. And Mary was there, too. And let's just read this from John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So you get the picture. There's this wedding. And often, I think in those days, the weddings lasted for days, not just a couple hours in an afternoon. How would you like that, Chip? Have a couple-day wedding. One day was long enough, right? When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, so here's Mary coming to Jesus and saying to him, there's no wine. And Mary knew Jesus had divine authority. She had to. All of the preparation that Mary had, all of the things that happened up to this point, Mary had to know that Jesus was God. So she comes to him and saying, hey, Jesus, you know, they ran out of wine. They have no wine over here. Okay? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said to her, woman, this is his mom, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. And basically saying to Mary, his mom, you can just hear the scissors again, cut, cut, cut. Mom, I get to decide how and when to use my divine authority given to me by God, and I'm God too. But I get to decide. You don't get to decide for me. That's social clarity. Let's look at another passage. This is in Matthew 12. It seems significant that all of these passages have a similar flavor. We need to be careful a little bit on what we take from it, but it seems significant that all of these have a similar flavor to how he dealt with his mother. And in this instance, he's still 30-ish, and he's in a house teaching about the kingdom of God. There's a big crowd of people around him, and outside probably. And the context is Mary and Jesus' brothers come to the outside of this crowd. Now let's just read it here. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak with him. Someone said to him, who do you think that someone was? Did you think, and how do you think he got in the house to tap Jesus on the shoulder? You can imagine Mary kind of coming to the edge of the crowd and poking a guy and says, you know, go get Jesus for me. He's my son. He should come. Jesus is in the middle of teaching. So this someone said to him, probably sent to him by his mom, by Jesus' mom, behold, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Again, you see Jesus drawing a line with his mom. His mom was coming to him. I don't think Jesus was unkind or mean or nasty. There was just something clear between him and her. And that's what we're talking about as we're talking about making a healthy break with mom. And Jesus, in these passages, was saying to Mary, I'm not your boy, no longer your boy. I'm taking my cues from a different source. And in Jesus' life, he kept his mom from rebonding with him. And he kept a healthy individuality. And now let's look at one last passage here, a healthy ending. And this is a scene where Jesus is on the cross. And he looks and he sees his mom standing with John. And he says to John, John, this is your mom. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. There was a lot of care that Jesus showed his mom. And in keeping a healthy distance from his mom, Mary did not lose Jesus as a son, but she gained him back as a man. Get that picture? He had a good relationship with his mom. He cared about his mom. It shows up here. He was looking out for her while he's hanging on the cross, dying and in a lot of pain. Let's look at seven suggestions for healing the wound, the mother wound. And I'm going to run through these kind of quickly. Always start with the understanding that breaking mom's over-involvement is good for you and for her. A while back, I was talking to a mom about releasing her sons. And as she started working and thinking through this, started letting her sons go, she actually told me later that she was sleeping better, more relaxed, as she was releasing her sons. Authentic manhood is impossible without it. If you're having a hard time breaking mom's over-involvement, authentic manhood, you're going to have a hard time being an authentic man. Recognize that your ultimate goal is to become a man whose vision is fixed on what God thinks and not what mom thinks. What God thinks and what mom, not what mom thinks. I remember a time when I started realizing that I'm not answerable to my parents anymore. And I was a grown man, past the time when I should have been thinking about that. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10. Stop complaining or struggling with mom. If you have this wound, get the support, encouragement, and help you need from other men or counselor, and develop a plan for healthy independence from mom. And we're going to go through this a little bit. Develop a plan as you work through your manhood plan. Develop a plan. If you have this wound, work out, as you invite men to join you, invite their feedback to avoid serious errors in making a healthy break. We need other men speaking into our lives, because sometimes when we get on a roll, we can be doing some of this healthy breaking kind of unkindly. This plan should address specific issues that are troublesome with specific applications. And I want to just read a letter. It's a men's fraternity in another place. And first time through, there was a man that actually dropped out of the teaching because when they got to this point, because he had such a hard time with it. And then later came back and took a hold of it. And he wrote his mom a letter. And from the picture I have, it may have been like the mom that we would have seen at the beginning here. I'm just going to read this. Dear mom, this is what he wrote his mom. I want to be honest with my feelings about you, so I will throw away my natural timidity and say what I think. Many aspects of your recent letter to me are like the worst aspects of our adult mother-son relationship this past 20 years. Two words come to mind to describe this relationship: domination and manipulation. I feel like any time I resist your dominant will, then your response is manipulative, particularly to induce the emotion of guilt in me. Oftentimes in the past, this has worked, although to no one's satisfaction. Hopefully we can now break the cycle. I will continue to honor you as my mother, but I cannot fill your needs in any area. We can acknowledge this without going to the extreme of a totally cut-off relationship. I suggest to you that if you find a relationship very painful, then your expectations from it are not proper. This guy was really direct with his mom. I'd ask that we may have a right relationship as a mother to son before the Lord. Please recognize that as a grown man, I must follow the call to be a man, no longer tied to his mother. I must follow the biblical command to leave my parents' home and to cleave to my wife. And please don't use emotional manipulation techniques on me in the future, for I am planning to resist it from now on. This letter is from me. It's not from my wife, this man was saying. I plan to let my wife read it before I send it, but only myself and you can be accountable for our relationship. My wife is neither the cause nor the solution to our relational problems, and she never has been, although in the past you've blamed her as the cause. This will no doubt be a slow-moving struggle, but it's time to work on a new kind of relationship between us. I love you, and I await your reply. You can read behind the lines that this relationship with mom was pretty difficult. And this is how his mom responded. Dear son, maybe there's no legal means for you to get rid of me as your mother or as a mother-in-law, but I can sure try to make it easier for you to be free of me emotionally. I hereby grant you permission to forget I exist. And do you feel that? Or ever was, or ever will be a part of your life or the lives of your children. I realize that is the way it is anyway, but just in case you occasionally feel burdened with the fact that I actually do exist and you have to put up with me, I want to remove that obstacle for you. I'll admit I am not doing this just for you and the kids, as I am truly weary of the hostility and rejection, as well as the shattered hopes and dreams I had for us. I've waited so long for us to be friends, the kind of friends that I believe we once were. It's not easy to say goodbye to such an important part of my life, but you've really left me no choice. With all the love I'll hold in my heart for you both, your ex-mom. And then the P.S., this is the best part. I know how Jesus felt when he spoke in Matthew 23. Oh, how I've longed to gather you together as a hen gathers a chick under her wings, but you're not willing. That's a tough relationship. And as this man began to follow through, it did begin to adjust and change. Your plan should address specific issues. Some of the specific issues that this man addressed in his letter were emotional manipulation, some of the ways that she related. And the plan should establish time-tested boundaries for how you and mom will interact in the future. This plan should include clear consequences attached to boundary violations. If I'm going too fast, you can look back in the back of your book and find the answers there. Communicate your plan in one of the following ways to your mom and stand your ground regardless of how she responds. Through a new way of relating. This doesn't have to be confrontational like this man was. It can be a new way of relating, a new way of thinking about your relationship with your mom. It can be through a face-to-face meeting, if necessary. Use the men in your life to report back to be balanced with your break with mom for clarity, encouragement, and accountability. We need guys where you can take your plan. This guy was working with other men as he was taking his letter and writing his letter to make this break with mom. If you're married, tell your wife you recognize the problem with the interfering mom and that you will take responsibility to correct it. Ask her for her support and prayers, but ask her not to get involved. It's your problem, not hers. And in some cases, your efforts to establish a healthy relationship with mom will result in a time of emotional punishment, like this man in the letter, or even your mom's angry withdrawal. Don't be derailed by this. In time, she will adjust normally. One of the things that I want to leave us with as I wrap up here today is, and even as I've been studying this stuff, I've been talking to my wife about what it looks like to make a healthy release of our sons. It's a critical need today for fathers to call teenage sons away from dependency on mom to manhood. And some of this can be as practical as mom not being the alarm clock for your boys, helping them figure out how to buy their clothes, and mom not covering for their mistakes, the call that needs for dads to make with their sons needs to be clear and direct, that needs to be embraced by the son, the dad, and the mom to be effective. And I remember a situation that happened for me. I was probably 18, 19 years old, and I was actually in the wrong. I had told my parents I was going to be at a certain place at a certain time, and some things had come up, and I wasn't, and I didn't have a way of contacting them. And so when I came home, I remember walking in the door, and my dad and my mom sitting at the table, and my little brother and my little sister were around. And one of the things, the memories I have is my mom lighting into me. I remember feeling so much anger about how she was dealing with me. And looking back, it felt shameful too with my little brother and little sister there. But looking back, what I would have longed for, and you know, us parents, we make mistakes. We don't always get it right. What I would have longed for would have been for my dad to have said to my mom, "I'm going to handle this. You put the kids to bed. Vernon's going to come home in a couple minutes, but I'm going to take care of this." And I wish he would have told my mom to be out of the room. Sometimes what interfered was my mom, even if she would have been there, I would have known what she was thinking with her look and mannerisms. But I one of the longings I would have had was for my dad or for my mom to get out of the way and allow the conflict to happen between my dad and I. That we can shoot from the hip back and forth. But what happened instead, my mom was there, my dad was there, and my what I remember, my mom kind of unloaded on me, and I don't think any of us were any more the wiser. So a dad needs to, it feels really critical for a dad to make this call to his sons, away from mom, and it can include ceremony. There's dads, I think Sam has done a number of things with his boys where he's had a ceremony where he's called his boys to manhood and has had men, and have been involved speaking into his boys' lives as they get to the age of growing up and being men. The legs of masculinity, weak or strong, in which a man stands, are established at home. Start work on your manhood plan now. As you look at the manhood plan back in the back of your book, if this is a significant part of your life and it's impacting you right now as we're talking, write about it in your plan. Make a plan for making a healthy break with mom. All right, I'll turn it back to Dan. And I want to just put a plug in for David Brubaker. Next week, you're in for a treat. So see you next week.